Members, welcome back. We have received the DOC and GCIS reports. Now, the time is for members to engage on these two reports.
And Fandam won't speak much because she's seized with the responsibility of the suspension of Patricia DeLille and JP. She won't speak much. We're hoping to finish very early.
And take us. Oh, we can just close the meeting if there are no questions. Honorable Kongubele and Honorable Panda.
No, Chair. I must appreciate the attempt by the department to present. I'm going to be very short.
Please.
Mine is an ongoing grievance. Is a, I don't know what to call it, an unstandardized performance information. So I'm not going to analyze anything because until we sort this thing out, there's a reason in the management science you've got strategic, tactical, and operational. This language is not just a South African language, it's an international language, so that when you write a report, anyone who finds your report, it must make sense to him, no matter America, no whoopee. Independent institutions. This generally, I want to be very careful and say generally. Strategic doesn't mean most of the time anything less than a year. Strategic. They're going to take a tactical and so on. There's a deliberate reason why these languages are used. And the two, this thing called objective, it is not an activity. It is a state. In other words, there's a particular state you want to turn around into a particular state. Into a particular state. It means you are able, for instance, to say, we are in Cape Town. We don't like being in Cape Town, therefore we want to be in Joburg. Being in Joburg is a state that you want to realize. Now, for us to be able to analyze your report, we must know how are you changing the state that you are critical of and the deliberate intended changes towards realizing being in Joburg. In this case, in the simple mathematics, it's just kilometers. 1,500 kilometers. When will you have covered 20 kilometers, 80 kilometers, and so on? Now, here, I just want to be told, because I'm not going to be long, how does effective and efficient strategic leadership become a strategic goal? I'm not sure if I'm making my point. How does effective and efficient strategic leadership become a strategic goal? Again, how does improve capacity is a strategy objective? All what I'm saying is that you are criticizing a particular state, you prefer a particular state, therefore, if we are, so that we can talk effective language between ourselves, in your absence, we must know what you want to change. For instance, if you say, effective leadership. Sisbi, are you suggesting that after a particular, for a certain period, it's not effective? How do you afford ineffective management at any point in time or leadership? For instance, if you say, this is an annual report now. let's say we have achieved effective, because you want to realize a state that you do not have. When you say goal, there's a state that at that point in time you are not in. Now, if one were to read purely in the language as it is, it says, for a particular period, will not be having effective what you call. How do you lead, therefore, from a 1 week, from a 1 week objective to a third week objective without having effective leadership? How will you do that? All that I'm trying to say is that we must accept there's a need to sort out language. We must accept. That's my frustration, Chair. And I know there's this attempt that it depends what methodology. I'm curious that somebody can tell me which methodology is being used here. Because maybe, I'll tell you, for instance, in my situation, I am guided by a results-based management. Results-based. In other words, if you want to change a situation, there's a result you want. Now you need to conduct yourself towards that result. But you must give that result a name so that we know that you are going to that result. Now, I'm saying, if you say improve universal access, improve capacity, improve, all I'm saying is that my prayer is that it may happen, by the way, but I'm talking nonsense.
Yeah, by the way, yeah.
You know that may happen? But somebody must demonstrate that. It's possible that, for instance, transformed communication sector, that may be a strategic goal. Transformed. No, I'm just, they were presented at the same time, am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This one?
No,
it's Joshi. This is Joshi. If you can go, there's a similar situation, even if you go to what you call to GISS. If you go to GISS, I'm closing now.
GCIS.
Whatever you call it. Whatever you call it. There's one that says maintain and strengthen. Maintain and strengthen. A well-functioning communication system. All I'm saying, you might find that the state is contained inside the language. But that state, there can be many states that you actually extract from this thing. All I'm saying is that either I need to learn what you are doing, or we need to learn something else. But in the process of doing so, the challenge we have, if I have to work with yourselves, I have to understand what you are doing. Now I'm very humble. Growing helps me. I'm prepared to grow by being helped by you to understand you better. But where I'm sitting, my limited knowledge doesn't help me to understand what is written here.
Just to do things properly. We'll be dealing with communications only, because it's two different departments. We're going to DOC, we're dealing with DOC, and then when we're done with DOC, we'll go to another department called GCIS. Yes. Yeah.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair. Let's start with the good. I think it's we must praise the department for getting a clean audit. It's good to see that the people's money is being spent the right way. I also saw that there's no irregular expenditure. and there was very little Western expenditure, so we must commend you for that. Now, the issues that need attention is the issue of entity oversight. Now, I think all the entities all have leadership challenges. They all have acting, they've got actors. All the entities have actors. I think the only stable one, is, in essence, is Brand SA. All the other ones have problems. FPB, the CEO and the COO had their services terminated or they resigned and they were given golden handshakes and the rest of their contracts was paid out. So can we have an update about when those, if those jobs have been advertised, when are the interviews? ICASA, the same thing. So we've never ever had a briefing as a committee about what's happened with the CEO of ICASA, why he was suspended. We know that Mr. Mwepe is acting as CEO. So what's happening with that? Is there going to be a disciplinary inquiry? Will the job be advertised? What's happening there? SABC, also leadership challenges. I mean, you've dealt with the issue of the board. But we know that before the interim board was engaged in appointing people to the top leadership, the CEO, COO, and CFO. Where is that process now? We know that that interviewed and that identified three people. What's happening with that? What's the other entity? FPB have asked. Okay, so basically an overview of what's happening with the leadership across all the department's entities. And then my question, MDDA, what's happening there too? What's happening with the leadership there? And then in terms of questions about expenditure, there was 3.9 million spent on fleet services, which includes government motor transport, which is up from 2.3 million in the previous financial year. What was that spent on? And I remember when we had a meeting earlier this year to discuss the APP, there was a suggestion that vehicles would be purchased. Were those vehicles purchased? And then 14 million on international travel. That seems to be quite a large amount. What is that 14 million spent on? What are those trips? Why was such a large amount spent by the department on international travel? This is the DOC, not the GCIS. I can see this Pumla looking at me very confused. This is DOC, not you.
Just to say, the question directed to DOC presentation will be responded to. We are meeting ICASA, MDDA, FPB this week. All issues related to that, let's deal with them at that point, so that we don't preempt what is going to be presented in those submissions.
Mm. Thanks, Chair. I think because it relates specifically to departments and entity oversight, I thought the minister was the right person to respond, unless the minister is going to be present for each one of those presentations and can speak at each one of those meetings about the specific entity's leadership challenges. So I thought if we have her here, and because entity oversight falls directly in the remit of the departments, I thought this would be the appropriate moment.
Yeah, I think we agree that we'll deal with issues at that point. The minister is expected to lead. It's her who's going to lead the department and the entities. That's her responsibility. So she will have to respond to that. I think what we need to deal with is only this the part that relates to the presentation. Any other question? Honourable Van Dijk and Honourable Jachan.
Chairman, one question will be on what the reason is for the delay in signing the performance agreements with the ICASA councillors. And then I assume that the with regard to the payout of the CEO and CEO of FPB, that will be that can be addressed when FBB is presenting. I want to know from the DOC, what were the three targets regarding the DTT project that the AG was actually that was actually audited? And then I want to know, there's a difference in the AG report and what was represented to us in the DOC report, and I just want to make sure. According to the AG, it says that there's a lack of adequate public awareness initiatives to get qualifying households registered, and in the report of the DOC on page 21, it says that it refers to 69 and actually an overachievement, and then also of awareness programs. And then the AG report indicates that only 231,335 households have successfully registered and qualified to receive checkup boxes. And then on the DOC report, it says that as a result of the awareness campaigns, 136,364 households were registered, and it mentioned of 38,520 installations that were completed, but even if you add those two together, you don't get the same amount that was mentioned in the AG report, so I'm not quite sure what where I lost it. And then with regards to the 441 young people that were trained in KZN, I just want to know, were those people, are they from all over the country, from all provinces? Are they representative? I see there's seven young people from the Northern Cape and seven in the Free State. Where are those 441 people now at this stage? Or I would like to get, I just want to know if they're representative. And then I also see that on page 23, you refer to your bilateral partnership with China and Russia, and on the 25th of September 2017, there was an article in the New York Times that indicates that China has blocked the WhatsApp, the censorship on is actually tightening on social media, and I just want to know, what does that signal out if South Africa actually also support a partnership with China when they this censorship on social media, how does that reflect, or what does that say of our media policy if we endorse such a relationship? That's all for now. Thank you.
Can we know where Honorable Bachoba is? Honorable Kalako. You must account where is the member. But it's your time. It's your time now to ask questions.
Chair, mine is just one or two questions. Just to seek some sort of certainty on this project of migration, because you know the AG, in one of their examples they were making, that there's no set date exactly that when will be the program be unfolding and be closed. It's just you have 2018. So, and they were raising a problem which might lead the department getting a finding where the set-top boxes, which now are in the post office, by the time the implementation continues, there's new technology. They are useless. There's nothing can be done about them. How do we address this? And the money would have been paid already to the service providers. How do we deal with this? How will the department make sure that we avoid that problem at all costs? And again, maybe just a clarity on whether we have completely closed this debate of set-top boxes, or I mean of encryption, completely, so that we don't go back to that and start getting delays because of that problem. Because if things are still in court, or if there have been no agreement between the parties, including the department, we might find ourselves in that problem. Whereas I know there are processes where Southern African region, there are discussions towards progressing. And we are part of that, but we are behind compared to other Southern African regions. So to me, Chair, this to me is a very slow process when it compares to the developments in the industry itself. I know maybe the minister might just take us into confidence on what the industry players are doing also around that, so that we can have a full picture, not only the government. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Tata.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to ask my questions. Related to the DOC document, I'm going to the strategic goals and objectives, that part of the document. It says under the second point, responsive communication policy and regulatory environment, 2.1. So it says improve access to broadcast services and information for all citizens, 2019. Minister, I would like to inform you, I've been sitting here in the Communications Committee for many years, and I've made the same request from my constituency, which is the deaf constituency, to make the broadcasting services accessible to all deaf people. I have been making the same request, asking the same questions. My constituency has also been asking me the same questions. It's in your department's goals and objectives. So please, what is the department's role specifically? I know SABC is a separate entity, I understand that, but the department's role in encouraging or reminding the SABC that the deaf community want full access to broadcasting services, to TV. That's the only way we get the news, that's the only way we get information, presentations, you know, that, Minister, that is the only way, through television. So I'd really like an answer. And also the relationship between the department and SABC to encourage the SABC, and it's including the blind people, they've also been making that request. When will we get full access? So I want to repeat that here. I don't want to talk about paid channels. I want to inform everybody the paid channel, DSTV, almost 90% accessible it is. But many of the deaf constituency cannot afford to pay DSTV. They depend on our public broadcaster for access. So please, when will that happen? My next question related to the Audiovisual Act. I know that the blind people have been asking for audiovisual information related to movies, TV, etc. So I'd like to ask, when will that act be finalized? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, maybe now we must allow the minister to respond. Sorry, but I didn't check.
Thanks. Oh, thanks, Chair. Chair, although Honorable Kalapo covered me, but I wanted to ask from the Minister and his department whether they agree with the AG insofar as the set-top box are concerned, or that the AG reported into and the advice that they're giving. Do they agree with that? Because I don't want us to sit here and think that there's an agreement, and again in the next session of this exercise saying things will be brought to our attention so that we are clear to say they should be, they agree here and now, or there will be engagement elsewhere, and we will be checking the board on what they are doing. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll start with the second last question on audiovisual, on the white paper on audiovisual. I had indicated when we gave, when I was introducing the presentations, that this will be finalized. We're just taking it to cabinet at the next cabinet for approval and for public consultation. So I had reported on that one. On industry players and their role in the digital migration program, other industry players have not been involved. And what I have since done is I've established a digital migration advisory council that is made up of all industry players. And they have pledged both financial and human resource capacity to the process. And the reason why I brought them on board was because they also have a very keen interest on ensuring that December 31st, 2018, so there is a date, December 31st, 2018 actually does happen. Having brought them on board, we've decided that the mobile operators who also are watching us to ensure that they also gain access to spectrum that will be released once we go digital, over and above the spectrum that is currently available. So we just thought that bringing them on board would make sense. But also from a distribution perspective, they have distribution packages for their cell phone products, a suite of products that they sell. And in some instances, you will see that Vodacom also has TVs and this and this and that, and computers that go with their package. So we thought that they would be best brought on board so that we all create a marketing strategy and a distribution strategy over and above, ensuring that we all meet the target. So they are on board with regards to that. The first meeting happened about 3 weeks ago, and they report into me and the CEOs of the various organizations. So there's SABC, there's MultiChoice, there's other pay television stations, ETV and others, and you then have the mobile operators on board as well as the department, ICASA, the regulators are also on board. I think on deaf people's access to communications, I couldn't agree with you more. It's even in certain instances in news programs that you find the translation into sign language. But I am not sure why it has taken this long for that to be effected in the SABC. Maybe one of my team members here will be able to explain on that one. I really have no idea why it has taken that long. On fleet and overseas travel, I think Tunisile, who's the ADG, will have to respond to that one. On the ICASA councillors, I think there was a dispute of sorts between the ministry and the councillors. But over and above that, there was a problem of actually setting up and establishing the panel, if I'm not mistaken. And now we are in the process of finalizing that. So in due time, that panel will be finalized. We've written to people requesting them to be part of the panel. And hopefully we will finalize on the performance agreement. It's something that I'm doing quite speedily. On the recipients of set-top boxes, I think Tunisile and her team will have to respond to that one. But safe to say that we've looked beyond just the set-top boxes. And as someone mentioned earlier on, I think it was the ADG, I mean, at the pace at which we move in terms of implementation, technology also becomes obsolete. And wasteful expenditure, honestly, is what we're going to be faced with in time. In the delays that we experience,
we're not going to be able to use some of this technology. So what we have done is, in this digital migration advisory council, we've also invited those that manufacture television sets, so that one, we're going to issue out a directive through the Department of Trade and Industry that no more analog televisions should be imported into South Africa to avoid dumping of product from abroad. But we're wanting to stimulate local industry as well in the manufacture of television sets that are only digital in their nature, so that it makes the process of migration a lot more easier and depend less on the set-top boxes as well. So they are part of what we've brought. You know, on the China and Russia bilateral agreements, you know, the agreements span over many sectors of society and many sectors of industry. And if we're only going to look at WhatsApp, I mean, I could talk about many countries who are established democracies that do business with China in the same way that South Africa does. But also, if I were to nitpick, I would say, let's look at our relationship with countries that have started wars all over the world. The Malvinas Wars in the Falklands, Iraq and Iran, the establishment of ISIS, which has terrorized the whole world. So if we're going to look at it from that perspective, countries have got their own internal policies that South Africa always shies away from meddling in the internal policies of other countries. So I don't think our association with China or Russia should be based on one aspect of policy that we also might not even agree with. But looking at the whole package and what we would gain as a country in those bilateral agreements or relationships. The DTT closeout, as I said, is the 31st of December 2018. But other questions I'll leave to the team to also respond to. Oh, Tatum Kolomondi's question. You know, Honorable Pungubele. Now, you could even have been 10 years younger than me, you would still have been my Totumkulu. So on these APPs, we went through a process of verification by the AG South Africa and also the DPME, which APPs were presented to Parliament for final approval. And these issues were not necessarily raised. But we work within a planning framework as established by the DPME, which is currently under review. So it might look at some of the issues that that you raise. And maybe as we engage with them as well, because some of the issues, much as you were saying, it might not make sense. In some of the issues, you make a lot of sense, and we would agree with you on that. It's a matter of us taking back to the DPME some of the issues that you have raised, so that it makes it a lot more easier for us to be. But I must indicate that all of that is either outcome. It's basically outcomes based. So we will have to see as we present it to the DPME and also the AGSA, but also you yourselves here, because you're the ones that approve these APPs, having looked at them, and they turn out to be the way that you are talking about them today, you are equally guilty like we are. But your point is taken. Thanks, Chairperson.
ADG.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the expenditure for 3.9 million, I will ask the CFO to respond to, and the issue of the purchase of the cars. On the 14 million, I don't think we will know here, or we can present now exactly the trips, except to say as reflected in the annual plan itself, there was WIPO, WRC, which was attended. There were bilateral meetings in SADC.
as well as in China that we attended, but we can provide a full list and the cost associated to each international trip at a later stage. Minister has spoken to the signing of the performance agreement with the ICASA councillors. I had a meeting with them, and one of the things that they raised is since Parliament approved their performance management framework, it's never been implemented, and they have certain issues around how it is structured. And that's the engagement that we need to have further with them and see if we need to bring it back to Parliament so that we tighten those up, because they feel that some of the things that are being proposed are linked to their conditions of service, and currently the framework does not allow that. So we have a plan in place to say we have the next meeting, they need to outline exactly what those problems are. We need to look at that and see if it's something that needs to come back here or we can resolve with them, or they can sign in the meantime pending that we take the framework back to Parliament for a new framework to be approved. And then in terms of the targets for DTT, the targets were 10 public awareness campaigns, and that is where we are saying we had 69, because we had an additional 59 leveraging on other izimbizos that other departments or provinces would be having, and then we use those as public awareness for the DTT. The second one was the switch off in the SKA area, where that has been done. The rollout is complete there. And the third one is a report around reporting on citizens that have access to digital broadcasting. So we look on a quarterly basis how many people are accessing digital broadcasting, and we do a quarterly report for that. So those were the three targets in the APP. Now, the other issue that has been raised is public awareness versus the rate of registration. The department has recently finished an evaluation type of an audit looking at the impact of the public awareness campaigns. Now, what is coming out of that is that clearly, although people can hear that something called DTT exists, there isn't a lot of people who know what that means for them, because for an ordinary person it means going and buying a new set-top box for a price of 400, but people don't know that. So part of the work of the advisory council is to say, let's work with all the broadcasters and come up with a public education campaign for South Africans so that it's not only those who are subsidized that we are targeting. We are targeting the rest, the 2 million who are not on DSTV, but who are also not going to get a subsidy, because those also need to know what is happening. I must indicate that currently the team is in the Free State, and we have taken a different approach where we are involving district municipalities and provincial offices as part of the rollout. The initial figures that we are getting is that we are registering 2,200 people per day, and we are installing up to 827 installations per day. That is why we are sitting now at a number of 182,456 installations, which is about 61,000 in a space of 2 months. And that's a huge improvement to the previous year, where the installations were very slow and the registration was very slow. So in terms of that, we are improving. What we've asked the service providers to do is to develop an app so that we can have real-time monitoring of the point of a citizen registering, the company going to install, and then saying, I'm now connected, as a way of trying to make sure that we have a much more responsive monitoring process for that. The training project. The KZN initiative was a very specific initiative for the province of KwaZulu-Natal for the 441 young people. Now, I wouldn't know where all of them are, but we know that some of them have started their own companies. Others are working with local installers as well. But we can get a figure in terms of specifically what are the absorption rates. Now, we are speaking in the current APP about 2,700 young people that are going to be trained, 10 per municipality as part of the further rollout. And what we are doing is with the Department of Public Works as part of the expanded public works program. And we are anticipating that once those young people are trained, because in the new mode of delivery, we are anticipating that there would be more local installers that will be recruited as service providers for the project. They would then use these young people who would have been trained to roll out in the local communities as well. The other ones that were mentioned, Northern Cape, it's really Alice as a service provider say, as part of the project, we are contributing to training a few young people. So you have some service providers who choose to do that. But as government, we have a target of 2,700. We are speaking to the MIC CETA to see if we can increase that number. We've had an introductory meeting with them, and they are promising that they can look at spending on 1,000 more, but we are still in negotiations because it's something that they had not planned for. Now, the technology, I think Minister has spoken to the issue of the IDPVs. What we are saying is that probably what we need to do is the review of the scheme of ownership to give citizens more options, because IDTVs are out there. And the reality is that set-top boxes are going to be with us for a while, but there are other options. And we are then saying citizens must explore those. And we will be including that as part of our public awareness campaign to say maybe citizens should consider buying IDTVs from now on. What we have found is that most people have them, but they just don't know that they have an IDTV. So those people, if they were to get the information, would automatically be switched on. So we need to give more public information around what an IDTV is, where do you check if you have one. If you do, just switch it on, you are migrated. So that's part of the work of the advisory council. Going into the issues around accessibility for the disabled, 2 weeks ago we had our meeting with the working group. It is under the ICT White Paper Disability Chamber. And they were telling me that for the past 2 years they've been trying to get DOC to be involved in that working group. We have agreed that we will now lead the group, and then we will look at the proposals from the chamber around issues of broadcasting and access for people with disabilities. So hopefully in the next quarter we'll be reporting a much more positive report on the work that we are doing in that. And then in terms of the AG and the DTT project, I think in more ways than one we agree with the observations of the AG, and that's most of the things that the DMEC, the Advisory Council, is currently looking at. I'll hand over to the CFO.
Thanks, Acting DG, Honourable Minister, Honourable Member. Two questions that were asked is in relation to fleet services. Fleet services, that's where we are paying for our GG vehicles and the running of our cars, your petrol, your ordinary services and all those things. So that amount has nothing to do with the buying of the cars. The buying of the cars is under payments of capital assets, which we have spent 3.8 million of, which in the last financial year, for sure there were parliamentary questions that we have responded to. That yes, in 2017 financial year, we bought a car for the former minister, which was responded, and there were various articles in papers talking to it. So it's not a secret. It has been declared long ago in the document. But the 3.8 million is not only the amount of the car, because in that 3.8 million, we bought cars for DTT so that we lessen the expenditure on rental of cars. They use the in-house vehicles to do the running of the DTT project. But in short, just to respond to the issue of international travel. Our budget on travel and subsistence is 17.6 million. So there is no way on international travel we can spend 14 million out of the 17 million. I just want to provide that. The 14 million, the 13.6 million we have spent here is travel and subsistence for the entire department. For us coming to Cape Town for attending portfolio meeting for DTT project, for everybody to run around in the department, that is the money we have spent as a department. But as DG has said, for international, we will give you the fraction of how much was spent out of that 13, but that 14 that you see there is not international travel, as it is. It's the entire expenditure for the organization. Thank you very much, DG.
Hey, Minister.
On a lighter note, Chairperson, in response to Honourable Van Damme's question, it would be a lot cheaper if Parliament was not in Cape Town.
We also govern the municipality.
So I think question are responded to. Welcome back, Honourable Machoba. Any other questions? Can we proceed to another? If there are no further questions, unless no, this one we'll go to Josiah now. Okay, Josiah. Questions to Josiah. It looks like everything was clear, Mam Williams. It's very consistent distinction. Oh, Honorable Jaffa?
Sorry, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. Not really a question, but it's the same as what I said to the Minister earlier. The GCIS is an important entity, and it's responsible for departments giving communication or dissemination of information. So, for example, the Minister of Health on World AIDS Day, I have no idea what the Minister is saying, but there are very important issues that are being covered in the presentation, and many of my constituency, cannot access the newspaper, or, you know, the level of literacy does not allow them access to the newspaper. So that's why I was saying TV is the best possible means of access to the community. So if that could be looked into as well. Thank you.
Minister?
I think...
There's another question. Honourable Patrick.
My question is, I would like to know what measures the GCIS have in place to ensure social page users from harm, that's like hate speech, cyberbullying, harassment, etc. And then also, how has the South African government leveraged on social media as a distributor of news, particularly in times of crisis or confusion?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay.
We have started something new as a department of distributing cabinet decisions and also a government at work program. For the cabinet decisions, it's every fortnight, it's fortnightly, and the government at work program is weekly. And in answering both questions by the honourable members, all of that information goes on social media, over and above your mainstream media. We have registered a growing footprint on social media, both on the work of the department, but on the work of other departments as well. So I think insofar as that is concerned, we've done pretty well. But also on the Vuk'uzenzele newspaper. Our distributorship has grown to what it was before, and there is the stats to share with you on that. Maybe we should do that. But on social media, the growth has been phenomenal. We can again report to you on that as to how many hits per day on Twitter, on Facebook. But even, you know, we even use WhatsApp within government so that that information is distributed to other channels. What we're in the process of doing, Honourable Member, is getting the cabinet, the post-cabinet briefing fact sheet to all constituencies so that it can help people get gain information on what it is that that government has, what the decisions taken by cabinet, but also ensure that it does not only end there, we're also taking it to local municipalities where people go on a daily basis so that they can be able to access the information. Just on the UN meeting that was attended by Minister Motsoaledi and the rollout of the ARV treatment, but also on the pricing of the ARV treatment, we communicated quite extensively on that one, on the Government at Work program. We also had it on the cabinet fact sheet. What we will then do is to ensure that that is provided to DEFSA to assist in its distribution, but also, as I said, also in all of the constituencies, we hope that we'll be able to distribute. We started doing that, but we hope we'll be able to cover all constituencies so that MPs can share this information with their constituencies.
Thank you very much, Minister. I just wanted Tasneem just to add around the social media and the control of the social media.
Thank you, Honourable Members and Minister and DG. Just to beef up some of the responses that have already been made, we're looking at we have about 6 million impressions on all government social media combined. And impressions include retweets and likes. So it's an ongoing effort. And like the Minister said, we try to make use of every possible platform. So we try to make sure that we use even the news that that the Honourable Member was talking about, and we leverage off it. Of course, it has to be from a government perspective. So it is government news. And on the issue around how do we deal with hate mail and abusive language, we follow common practice. Common practice is what most other institutions, public institutions, and even some private institutions. I'm sure you're aware, Honourable Members, that News24 has actually removed the comments section. So you actually can't post comments there anymore because they were receiving so much abusive comments. What we do is we have a disclaimer. We allow people to make comments. But if but someone is monitoring it all the time, and if the comments become abusive in that they violate principles of the Constitution, then we do delete those comments so that the hate mail and the, you know, it doesn't keep on going. So that's our policy, and it is the norm that most institutions follow. Also, maybe just to add the one area that maybe hasn't been mentioned, on Vukuzenzele, we are the only newspaper that we're aware of that produces copies in Braille. So we are quite aware of accessibility, and we promote it in as far as our budget allows. But I think the comments made by the Honourable Member, I mean, they're fair about campaigns, and we will be promoting them. Okay.
Thank you very much. If there are more questions, since you say there are no questions, but can we also congratulate you, ma'am, on your appointment as a board member of MTDA. Congratulations. I'm sure members are aware that she was appointed last week. To exactly what we are trying to explain, Minister. It's already reported that the board will be in place in 2 days' time. It's exactly what we're trying to avoid here. There is nothing that says the board will be in place in 2 days. What the minister was saying, because I wish, just that I don't know who's News 24 here. They must report properly. The minister was saying, in terms of SAQWA, they promised to finalize issues of qualification within 2 days. It was just a promise. Now they say the board will be in place in 2 days. It's out of order. The minister.
But Chairperson, this is deliberate misinformation, because I even corrected what Member Fenty Van Dam was saying based on a quest on an issue that was made by Honorable Galago in correcting that. So two people have corrected this, and this is deliberate misleading the public. Sensationalist reporting of the lowest order.
So Media 24, maybe we must There must be something that we must do in correcting that situation. And the person who is in the meeting, I think we must write something to Media 24, whoever is in charge, and correct the situation. And a person like that, Media 24, must do something with them. Because it's wrong to sit here and manufacture stories. I'm told it's you, sir. You must correct it. You must correct it because it's already news.
I'm saying, Chairperson, you are correct. Let's deal with it here, because if it is him and he's sitting in this meeting, let us deal with it properly, because we're going to go out here and I'm told that I am quoted on something that I did not say. I did not say in 2 days' time. We are going to appoint the board. I never said that.
You know, I haven't read this thing, but the headline says SABC board impasse to be resolved in 2 days. Zuma urged to act. You see? And then the impasse on the appointment of the SABC board should be resolved in 2 days. Communications Minister Ayanda Lord told Parliament on Tuesday morning. You see? There it is, members. I want your direction on this one. It's very bad. The Honorable Tolasha?
No, thank you, Chair. I think you have concluded it smartly to say, let there be a communique in writing to the head of News 24 and caution their conduct and the people that they send on the ground. And we know these meetings are public meetings. They have a right to participate, not to participate, to be part of these meetings. But it's not going to be acceptable for them to report in a manner that is sensational, as the minister has just done. Let's put it in writing so that we just send that communique to the person who is in charge of News 24 in South Africa. Thank you.
Chair, I was going to add that Chair, you, the committee, as a chair of the committee, you issue a statement, and the Media 24 must publish that statement. It's only when they don't publish you will see their agenda. We have been suspecting you guys.
will see their agenda immediately. They must publish that statement. It's misleading, and your way of reporting is crookery. So misleading. You report the facts right down what was said in the meeting, but your headline and the first paragraph is a complete distortion of what was said. Yeah. So I think, Chair, what you do, we do as a committee. Let's take that decision. You issue a statement to correct that.
It's the headline that
says that. We'll have to do that, but also maybe now as the committee, because this is the meeting of the committee on communication. Whoever is in charge of News 24, as the committee will write to that organization, you know, I don't know whether it's SANEF or, but I think that the committee must, because the information that was communicated here was communicated to the portfolio committee, and I think we must write that letter over and above the statement. Statement we are going to issue, but the letter must go straight to those people. Yes. Okay. We're done with GCIS. I think we agree on this one. We're done with GCIS. It means we're closer to finishing the meeting. We'll have to look at the program, committee program.
Can you put that up?
But also, Minister, you must reduce your delegation. You don't have money. You tell us you don't have money, yet you have 20 people. Well, it's not 20 people. you have a lot of... it's nice because they learn, they listen, they do all those things. They support. But I think we must try by all means because the budget is too small. Let's reduce our delegation from Pretoria. Those who are in Cape Town from your GCIS, it's not a problem, or your offices in the ministry, it's not a problem, but incurring costs, let's try by all means to avoid it. Okay, we go to the program now.
Can we be
circulated? No.
It's not our
problem. Well, I wish I could keep you here. No, it's really the program, but it affects your minister. But I think we've consulted you on that one. It's a committee program, and what we need to do, the changes that we have made, is that we'll no longer Well, it's still an open meeting. It's still an open meeting, but the ministry, if they want to leave, they can leave. The department, both of them can leave. When they leave, it's really fast. We want to continue with that. On Thursday, we're going to engage with the CASA FPB. On Friday, we're going to do BSA. They requested they requested Friday because they have a function on Thursday. So we agreed they will come by 1 o'clock, will be done on Friday. And then the following week on Tuesday, that's where we have placed MDDA. Because MDDA, we must spend time in dealing with them. And both of them with SABC. And that will be the 10th, which is a Tuesday next week. And then on Thursday we'll be interviewing ICASA. And then on the 17th, then it's B2R. But I think what I wanted to factor in is the MDDA on the 10th instead of Thursday. Otherwise, the program remains the same as was circulated. Now we'll need the adoption of the committee program, Honorable Kalako.
More for adoption, Chair. Yeah?
No. Adoption by Honorable Kalako and seconded by Honorable Macho. Agenda today?
Yeah.
Oh, Honorable.
I just want to explore that the minister is going to have. If she can please use the MDDA with the arrangement of the department, she must still read the processes of the MDDA.
Oh. I want to request the minister, I know for a fact that she will be here, if she can please lead the all the presentations.
I think that's supposed to be the norm.
Yeah. I guess the, no, I'm saying
it,
sometimes they've got their own
opportunity. Oh, okay. No.
So I'm saying it must be.
Except that when the minister is not there and the deputy minister, the political leadership, when they are not there, then it's other people. But thanks to the Honorable Tolas for that. But the program now is adopted. Thank you very much.
Just my apology that I won't be able to join you on Thursday because of the Brand SA event. And I'm happy that MDDA has been moved to Tuesday because for that one I will definitely be here with the SABC. With the other ones it's a lot less.
Then on Thursday, ICASA and FPB, minister will not be there. And then the chairperson of the council and the CEO, whoever. That's when we are expected to explain the situation of the ICASA CEO. Yes,
I think just maybe because really I will not be there, just to explain this one.
Yeah.
And I think I need to start from scratch so that we understand the context which was not reported accurately in the media. I wrote a letter, I think on the 3rd, I don't even remember which month it was, to the chairperson of the board, requesting for the CEO to be seconded to the department for the simple reason that he knows the communication sector more than a lot of people. He's one of those gurus in the sector. And unfortunately, we have lost him to MTN. I wrote the letter on the 3rd. On the 5th, I got notification that he'd been suspended. And all the while, this was never shared with me. I honestly did not know that he was going to be suspended. Neither did I know that there was an investigation. Rumors are abound, but I don't act on the basis of rumors. But those rumors were not shared shared with me by the councillors at ICASA. But nonetheless, on the 3rd I wrote the letter, on the 4th I was responded, I mean on the 5th I was responded to say that we suspended him yesterday, which was the 4th. Now, what took me by complete surprise is that out there publicly, very serious charges are put out against the individual. And the sad thing with all of this is when now I am trying to get feedback from the acting chairperson, I am told that the case of sexual harassment was not even laid by the alleged victim. It was laid by a third party. And you see, these are the problems that occur when people, and at the same time, again, the rumor mill, which I did not want to entertain, was that he has to be gotten rid of because of the tender for the office building. So, again, not acting on rumor, but you listen to these things, and when you calculate these matters, you say to yourself, what is actually going on here? So he is ultimately given a settlement. And my question back to ICASA was, if you were so confident as to suspend him, because you don't have to suspend a person, I mean, I've done labor relations, you don't have to suspend a person if they are not going to be a threat to the investigation. So I say to them, then why did you settle with him? Because you could have, they could have easily brought him to me whilst the investigation went ahead. I need him. I needed him that desperately, especially because of the DTT process. But they then reach an agreement with him, and they pay out a settlement, which was very alarming to me. But if you are so adamant that this man was involved in sexual harassment, and also the other issues that you're talking about, why do you allow the situation to go that way instead of going the full hog and hold the disciplinary inquiry? So to me, as a lay person who's not a lawyer, my deduction was that there was no case in the first place. But the interesting thing is that now of late, that tender for the building has been rescinded. They're going to re-advertise for that. Now, I'm not saying that was the reason. I'm just saying that all of these issues, if you put them together, you ask yourself, and it's not because he's an MKK, the former MKK. It is because I just think it is unfair to accuse men of sexual harassment when you are not going to take the issue the whole hog. Again, it's the same exact thing that happened at the FPB. This poor man has been said to have sexually harassed, and it's common knowledge that he's gay, so I'm not talking about something that is not common knowledge. But you know how sometimes when you are courted or approached by a person and you're not gay, that you become very hostile to that approach. I don't know whether that was the case. In his case, we will all never know whether it was really a case of harassment or a person trying to court another man, not knowing that he's not. So we'll never know because he was never given the opportunity or he was never taken through the process for him to be able to state his case properly and get whether charged, I mean, further charged or whatever. But again, it's a case of sexual harassment and the case is dropped and he's paid a settlement. The question arises again. Did these two men actually sexually harass people if it is so easy to withdraw these charges and pay people out? Because even with both of them, for the alleged victims, none of them have gone to the newspapers, none of them have come, I don't know about the portfolio committee, none of them have come to the department to say this was unfair that these people were paid out because we were sexually harassed. None of that happened. One of the issues that was raised with the chairperson, with the CEO of FPB, was that he had absconded from work. Now, I asked about that. If you say a person has absconded or he doesn't come to work regularly, why are you going for a settlement instead of dealing with this thing. No, we have since realized that our system does not work properly. Now, the chairperson said that to me. She said the system does not work properly. Now, when Minister Natim Teto was looking for a DG, he approached me on the matter. And I said to him, there's a sexual harassment case here, and I take these things very, very seriously. So the poor man could have gone to the Department of Arts and Culture. He doesn't have a job today because this is the way that we treat other people in government. It's just not fair. It is really, really not fair. MTN has taken the CEO of ICASA. We are all the more poorer as government with that type of resource having been lost to MTN.
Chair, I just want to find out with regards to Philemon Publications, the chair that said that the process or that the procedures were not followed. She's the chair. Is it not our duty as the committee then to get the whole board here and the chair? Because this can happen in future again. And we should actually ask them what happened there, but the whole board must be here. And then also with this situation, because I think it's important. If they don't learn a lesson now, you must remember it was two people from Philemon Publication. It's the taxpayers, and we don't know what really happened in that board, or if there were proper communication, or the chair. The chair also is there for 15 years apparently already, three terms, yes. And there's nothing in that in the
what do you call it?
Yeah, that says in all the other entities you can stay on for two terms, but not with Philemon Publications. But that's something else. I think that we as a committee must really bring that board here with the all the members, not all of them, and the chair. They must come and explain to us.
No, they will be here on Thursday, both the ICASA and FPP. Honorable Tolash.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, they will be here. Yes, they will be brought before the portfolio committee, but it's almost at the tail end. I think we must revoke the laws that talks to people paying back the taxpayers' money that they wrongfully paid to people without a process. Because how can it happen without the minister's knowledge? But I think, Chair, it also plays into that we have discussed earlier on, that the entities must be made aware of the fact that the minister and her office are the last people to speak on the matters that affect them directly or indirectly. We know and understand their independence and so on. But they're still a minister. That's why their budget doesn't go to them. It must go to the Department of Communication and later on the process back to them. I mean, those things must be understood. But this one, Chairperson, it must be put to them to say, aren't they then responsible for that fruitless and wasteful expenditure? Have undermined all the processes that takes into the conclusion that they have of having a settlement. What if at the end that person comes back to say, no, take your money back. I think I want to persuade, I want my job back. What are they going to do? I think for a long time the entities have been left to be some other people's face dumb, and I think Minister, this must come to an end. It must just come to an end. I don't think there's any other way except to say you have done it wrongly with taxpayers' money. What's that demand? Pay the money back. And you did not inform anybody. And you did not follow the known legal processes. Years are behind, you know, in the Lama settlement. That can come back and haunt the department for quite a long time. And secondly, Chairperson, this thing of making this government more poorer than it was yesterday by taking people out because we've got some perceptions about them, even before they even commit a mistake, you judge them and you conclude on them. I think it must come to an end, but I want to emphasize this thing that these entities are now individuals' fiefdom and it must come to an end. We are very fortunate that the SAPC is new. That board must be taken through a thorough induction process. Because it is also awkward to explain, until now here it's your role, but from here going forward, the minister must have a role. It's so awkward when you do it in a portfolio committee. All these people are supposed to be educated and understand the laws that govern the board and everything else. And it's so awkward to tell them in the portfolio committee meetings because it tells you one story and it creates a problem that says, how did you appoint these people in the first place? So that will be my take, Chairperson, but it's really annoying. It's a pity, Minister, because in the oversight report, we picked this thing up when we were taken by surprise to be told that there's that man that is now acting. Without us knowing, it was never brought to our attention. We got to know about it when we visited their head office. With the issue of the tender, we got it when we visited the offices. We knew that there was that tension. Did not fall before us then because it was an administrative, but you can see now with Ipelele Bophile, we've lost a very, very prominent person in the process for reasons that you ourselves were unable to explain. It's bad, Chairperson. Somebody must account on that. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to agree with everything Honorable Dalasha said. I think it's a serious, serious issue. If you recall, this is what happened at the SABC. If there was someone they didn't like, they would make life very difficult for them, pay them and say go away and appoint another person. So I think this is something that we must take very seriously as a committee. And then I think going forward, because a lot of these things, we read about them in the papers. The ICASA issue, we read about it in the paper, and there was no official report to us as a committee about what's happening. And now, months later, we're getting the report. If there can be maybe some sort of protocol created for informing the committee when there's change in top leadership, in the CEO, the COO, the CFO, so we're kept in the loop so we can know what's happening and not just read about it in the paper. And in that way we'll know why someone is suspended, whether an investigation has been conducted.
What we'll have to do, because it's Thursday, when we'll be meeting them. As they come here on Monday, they must also give us a full report on both issues. The issue of the former CEO of ICASA, what happened leading to everything, as well as the, and how they have finalized the matter, the issues that the minister is talking about. Same applies to FPB. We must get to a point where they say, at the end, this is what we did. And then the question of this wasteful expenditure comes in. I think we'll have to do that. We'll have to do that on Thursday. You see, it goes back to that question of some of these entities calling themselves independent. And they can run with things without even the minister knowing. So this issue of ICASA, I think we really need to put it to rest as to what then, who's responsible for it. I mean, if they are going to do things, not even putting the minister on the loop in terms of what they are doing, it's quite serious because it's an entity of DOC. Huh? ICASA is an entity of this department. We vote for money that goes to the department. And I think as we really need to, those matters must be clarified so that they know exactly where they stop and where who is in charge, because I think they think that they are in charge. Yes, they are come to us, fine, but they are not just an entity that comes to us without the minister. So we'll have to do all those things on Thursday. Okay. I miss Honorable Kongwele. I haven't seen him for a long time. Now the program is adopted, and I think we're done with the meeting, except that you still want to sit here, so there is no proposal for closure. Okay, seconded by Honorable Van Damme. Yeah, thank you very much, members. I think we've done well in terms of time. Thank you. Now the meeting is adjourned.
I want to kiss that on your 15th birthday. Thank you.